What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
St. Louis DGS. I'm KMOX. Happy Tuesday. It's funny that my analogy about doing a 4-hour show every day is that it's like driving to Florida, and at some point we reach Nashville, and you're like, crap, we're only in Nashville. And at the start, I always feel like we're pulling out of the driveway, and I'm looking in the back seat at you kids, and I'm like, everyone went to the bathroom, right? Because we're not stopping for a couple hours.
Yeah, we got at least, what was your guys' thing about a road trip? Like, is it, we're not stopping for at least 3 hours, 2 hours, 5 hours?
We didn't, I don't remember as a kid, because we only took a couple of road trips. But for me, if you asked my family, they would make great fun of me because I am, and we've talked about this before, navigation through Siri was one of the worst things to ever happen to me, because if I'm going to Florida and it says 16 hours and 32 minutes, damn it, it's going to be 16 hours and 32 minutes.
I get you.
And I'm constantly checking it, you know, got the phone down between my legs. I'm looking down at it and looking back, looking down at it. And the worst part of it is when we do stop, like if someone needs to stop, I'm not like, oh, I got to stop. But don't dilly-dally.
You're counting.
Yeah, don't dilly-dally. Don't shop for biker, trucker hats and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm getting much better. When I took Phoebe and her friend to Colorado last time, I was cool. I was much better.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get there. We're going to get there.
Yeah. I don't have a, I've never really had a set rule, but I would make the drive from, like, Miami to Detroit at the end of the school year or something, I would always see how far I could go.
Without
like,
it?
Could I make it a whole tank of gas was always my challenge. Can I wait till I have to stop? And it would depend on the time of day, because if I'm driving at night, even then, going back to when I was probably in high school and college, my strategy was always have a drink and food with you. You're always eating, you're always drinking, because you will never fall asleep if you're eating and drinking constantly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The worst ever drive was this is when Phoebe was probably 6, 7, and we were down in Naples, and Nick and I decided we'd driven down there because neither of us liked to fly, and the girls were flying, and so we decided to leave at 6 p.m. at night, and Nick would take the first shift because he's an excellent little driver, even back then, and he'll drive until 1 a.m., and I'll sleep, and then I'll take over. Well, I didn't sleep a wink.
Mm.
And I took over at 1, and I was like a guy at Guantanamo Bay who's being sleep deprived.
I'll tell you whatever you need to know.
Oh, man. It was the worst. So we rolled into like Centralia, Illinois the next afternoon and stopped at a rest stop, and I saw Smurfs running around. I mean, it was just...
Yeah. I think it was my sophomore year in college. I was driving back to Detroit, and one of our graduate assistant coaches or volunteer or whatever was also from that area. So we were going to drive back together, and we did the same thing. I was going to drive first, and then he would drive after that. And he was swerving so badly, I made him stop 5 minutes over. I'm like, dude, I'm just driving. And I basically drove the whole 21 hours.
Because
I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him. I'm not going to let this guy crash the car because he can't control himself.
Yeah, Phoebe did that when she and her friends went to Florida, and she's like me. She has a bit of driving anxiety as a passenger, so she drove the whole way in true Glover form.
Yeah,
and she talks about it now. She's like, I shouldn't have done it. And Nick did the same thing. He came home with his friends from Utah, And he did the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I it's not that big of a deal. To me, it wasn't at that age. It was just more like, all right, if I do this, I know I'm going to stay awake and I'll just be tired for a day or two after. But I was 20 years old. What do I care?
You haven't heard the story of my incident this morning, have you?
You had an incident?
I did have an incident.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
So I am driving along a side street, which I have driven literally 1,000 times. So I know it very well. It is completely uncovered by snow. So it's completely, you know, it's no ice, no nothing. But on either side, there's the famous ice wall that we're all used to now.
Yeah.
And there's about a 5 to 10 foot drop off on either side. This is so stupid. This is so stupid. So you've seen my Jeep. I have a bunch of stuff in it.
Yeah.
And my notebook was on the passenger seat next to me, falls into the floor. Who cares? Who cares? It didn't fly out the window, but my dumb ass leans over to pick it up.
Oh, did you drift?
I drifted into the snow, and I went down the embankment, and I hit one of those giant cement cisterns for the sewers, which was completely covered by snow.
Right?
I am effed. I can't go forward, clearly, because I'm in a sewer.
Yeah.
And I can't go back.
No, you're not backing up that hill.
You can't back up that hill. So I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. It's one of those when you see someone on the side of the road, you're like, that poor schmuck. Man, he's having a day. What an idiot.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Drive straight.
How did you run off a perfectly plowed road? That's how it happened. I told Phoebe the story. I'm like, this is how it happens.
Right.
And
don't do this.
Don't do this. Because I took my attention off the road for 2 seconds.
Yep.
And that wheel caught, and boom, I was in. So I get out, and I'm looking at it, and a lady stops, and she's like, can I help you? I'm like, I'm going to call AAA. Thank you very much, though. And then my guardian angel, I don't know his name. I didn't get his name. This dude pulls up in a big truck, like a company truck, a work truck.
I gotcha.
He goes, you want me to pull you out? I'm like, I'm willing to sleep with you if you'll do that. I mean, like, yes, I very much want you to pull me out. And so I have those red hooks on the back of my Rubicon, which have never been used.
First time ever.
First time ever. This dude hooks it up with like a, not a rope, not a chain, but like almost like a super.
It's the steel
bungee.
Fiber. Yeah. Oh, is it that?
Yeah. Okay, kind of like that.
I was wondering if it was one of those woven steel.
No. And he's like, jump in, turn the wheel, go in reverse, but slowly, and within 60 seconds, I'm out.
Dang.
Out.
So wait, was there an impact? Like, you didn't crunch the car, like, hit the cement thing, did you?
No, it was more, I did, because I'm a little sore right now.
Yeah.
And I looked at the Jeep. This Jeep, this is the third accident the Jeep's been in. The Jeep has never had a repair. This thing is,
it just took it.
It's indestructible.
Yeah.
And so I figured, okay, here's the one, the bumper is what, and nothing. Just, there's not a scratch. He just pulls me out. Wow. And I said, how much can I pay you? And I had a couple $100 cash in my pocket, and it would have been worth it. And he goes, nothing, dude. You're fine. We're all helping each other out here. And I thought of, I'm not a big woo-woo guy, but I thought of 24 hours before that, Andrew and I spent an hour pushing out a lady.
There's your karma.
There's your karma. Mm-hmm. There's your karma. So
pay it forward.
Universe paid you back.
If you're a DGS fan and you're the guy that pulled me out, eternally thankful. Mm. Thank you for that. And so, two lessons. Even if you're a seasoned driver, which I am, driving a Rubicon in this kind of weather, never take your eyes off the road. It happens in 2 seconds. And secondly, it's very meaningful when you help another person.
Yeah.
Very meaningful.
Absolutely.
Always take that opportunity.
That guy just took your day being ruined and fixed it.
Absolutely, he did. Single-handedly.
And that's what everybody else does for other people when you take those moments.
Single-handedly.
Yep.
How about that, though?
That's cool. And crazy.
And crazy.
How's that not the first thing you said to me when I walked in today?
I wanted to save it for the show.
Oh, good job. Good job.
Yeah.
Save it for the air.
Did you say good gob?
Good gob.
Good gob.
Good gob, Dave. Good gob, Dave.
Good gob.
I'm a little sore, so there was obviously some impact.
Oh, yeah. You'll feel it more tomorrow, I bet.
Plus, just my entire body tightening, because I bet it took me a second and a half to go down that 5 or 10 feet, but that's long enough to clinch
every fiber.
So it wasn't
like a drop, it was a slide.
It was a slide.
Okay.
It was a slide.
So you're on the brake and you're like, ah!
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, it's like falling down your stairs at home. You have all the time in the world.
It feels like you got a year and be like, oh, well, this is happening.
Where you're just doing the math.
Yep.
Like, I don't think I can get back out of here. The cops are going to come.
What's this going to cost me?
What's it going to cost me?
Am I going to make it to work?
So.
That's awful.
Well, awesome dude, man.
Awesome dude.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about today, strangely enough, about things that you wish you had known when you were a new driver, or you're glad you knew or learned when you were a new driver. Because I was thinking, with weather like this, if you have a 16, 17-year-old, a new driver, and you live in a suburban neighborhood, yesterday would have been a great day to take the car out, depending on how the condition
practice.
Of your neighborhood, and practice. Say,
how
hard it is to stop. See how slow you have to go,
just
to let them get a feel for it. But when you talked about one of the very first lessons, I wasn't even a driver, but my friend's brother turned 16, and he got his license, and he's driving. And within that year, he crashed his car, and it was because it was in the neighborhood. He dropped his water bottle. Something that doesn't matter. And he just leaned over to grab it. And I remember that was just cement. I must have been 10 or 11 years old. Cemented in my brain. Never lean over. And I still think of that day, 30 years later. Because it seems so easy. And you're like, well, I've got one hand on the wheel.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lean. Mm-hmm. I'm like, never lean.
Yeah. Mine couldn't have been dumber. Because it wasn't like I dropped a lit cigarette.
Right.
I dropped a notebook.
It wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. So.
Good lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't recommend that enough, teaching drivers in the bad weather when the opportunity comes up. Find an empty parking lot and just start swerving and donuts and get out of it.
I was going to do that with Phoebe yesterday, but she's a part of the night watch with you.
Ah.
Yeah, so she wakes up about 8 p.m.
Oh, well.
So.
Yeah.
121 DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. So,
it's the last thing on my
I don't want to go off on MoDOT because they're doing their best. And I'm sure they're working hard. And the men and the women, and I've never even sat in a plow, right? I've certainly never driven one. And I've certainly never been in charge of deciding the battle plan after a really bad winter storm. So, my criticism comes with that admission. And I really only have one complaint, and that is the entrance and exit ramps, like we talked a little bit about yesterday. Last night when I was leaving, and I go, I take the entrance from Market onto 40. Now, that Market and 40 is about as downtown as you get, right? I mean, that's like Market and 40.
It's right by Enterprise Center.
Let's make sure it's good. And I was in Phoebe's Bronco, which is high, and I was still just, there were just tire tracks, and I was just scraping the middle. Now, I was fine. Bronco's a good car, got me up there. I wasn't scared. But had I been in a sedan, screwed. That's not okay when it is 12 hours after the last snowflake fell.
Oh, it was more than that by then.
Yeah. I mean, just make sure the entrance and the exits are clear.
Yeah.
I know that there are different priorities, but it's hard to have a higher, better priority than that. And after 12 hours, after you've had 12 hours, the snow shouldn't be so high in the middle of the tire tracks, which we made, that people are scraping it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't.
No, it was still that way. I mean, it was... You went 40. It was that way on 70 also, all the way out west. And even this morning, it was still kind of crappy getting on the highway.
Yeah.
Like this time, like, I don't know, do the plows not fit on those lanes?
Maybe.
Is that it? Like, are they too? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Because otherwise, is there no plan for that? Is it just like, well, good luck, everyone? Because all of the exits are up.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're in a... like a small sedan, or God forbid, a sports car, which I'm not. I was in the Nissan Rogue, so I'm fine. It's, you know, front wheel drive and all that. But if I were in the Camaro, that's a more challenging problem.
You bet,
because you're low and you're scraping that snow you're talking about,
and you're so cool.
And it's rear wheel. It's rear wheel drive, and you know, I mean, usually it's cool because
rear wheel is the worst.
It's It's not as bad if you've done it before, but it's not as good as front wheel or four wheel.
Andrew and I worked for an hour to push a front wheel out yesterday.
Yeah, everything can get stuck, right? I mean, rear wheel, you'll just get more of the fishtailing and things like that. Although mine has a setting that diminishes that, which is cool. It's got a snow and ice setting, so mm-hmm. it balances out. It doesn't accelerate as fast, basically. It just slows down how fast it will speed up. But so it gives you better control. But the point is, even with that, if I were in that car, that amount of snow, I'd be running into that, like, little, what'd you call it? A little track in the middle of snow. And I don't get why that is. I mean, we're well over 24 hours beyond when the last snowflake fell. So why are the entrances and exits on major highways still bad?
Rach, how'd you do this morning?
I did well. Yesterday Steve was nice enough to come pick me up for work because I don't think I would have made it up onto the 44 ramp yesterday. It was really bad, but today it was fine. Like, 44 looks amazing if you haven't driven down that.
44 is good. The best highway we have.
Yeah?
I agree.
It's good.
I agree.
It is fascinating that, again, I don't know who to criticize because, like you said, David, I don't think it's the guys driving the trucks that are doing it wrong. It's probably not even their bosses. It probably is, you know, something bigger than that. But, like, I didn't see any trucks out today.
Well,
and yet the ramps
combo.
Are all jacked up. So can we finish?
It's probably just a combo of, you know, like we said, we're not going to invest in the snow plows and trucks that Detroit has. It's the same thing in Atlanta. Like, it's not worth it for them to have 500 snowplows sitting around for the occasional snow every few years. So I think we have fewer trucks. I know that every industry has been short on workers, so maybe it's turnover, experience. I mean, you only know when you do it. So whether they were short on workers or there were a few inexperienced workers, like, it could be a combination of all sorts of factors of we're doing the best we can with what we have. It felt like, I agree, it did feel like this time around the roads and the entrance and exits were a little bit sketchier for longer than normal. I know even this morning.
And it was a lot of snow, but I mean, like again,
but it's also,
you could have been out there this morning clearing it.
Yes.
And it's still not clear.
And with the wintry mix record,
I think
that we set.
Quick ruling on something. So I shoveled, I half-ass shoveled. Like, I shoveled behind the cars.
Sure, sure.
Because there were two cars in the parking.
Covering part of it. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Right. And it's a three-car driveway. It's a normal driveway. Everything about it's normal. No big steep or anything like that. And Maureen was calling around trying to find snow removal. And the guy gave her a quote of $175.
For a one-time.
And I was like, do it. And she was like, no. Too expensive. They're taking advantage. Blah, blah, blah. Like, how does that hit you?
Depends on how badly I need it
done. Supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
How big is the driveway?
Yeah, normal.
I mean,
normal.
As I think I know it's not realistic when you're kind of stuck in your driveway, but I mean, the little snowblower I have was like $250.
I know.
It was less than 300.
I thought about it.
That's a permanent solution for not too far off the money.
And Maureen and I, we didn't fight, but she was like, it was only yesterday when kids would do it for $20.
That's true.
I'm like, hey, Grandpa Simpson, things have, you know.
But even then, if kids came by, you're like, hey, $50, that's a better deal than $175.
You better believe it. Yeah. But no kids are doing that.
No, that's true. I didn't see anybody out doing it.
12 inches of snow, and it's iced over now.
It's a lot. I mean, like, that's a lot of work. Yeah, this is an unusual one.
Hmm. Yeah, true.
Did you hear my landlord gave me $100 out of the kindness of his heart?
For?
So I was saying, long story, but I have a little gully back alley entrance right to my really tight little garage for this little tiny apartment building. So the back alley never gets snowplowed, apparently, but I didn't know that. So anyway, I was stuck. It took like 90 minutes to get out, even with four-wheel drive, out of this little behind-the-garage area. So I shoveled like a huge section around the garage in the alley, and then Mason Jar got a snowblower to make tracks up the alley. And I took a picture, and I said, hey, do you ever know if this ever gets plowed? And he said, no, it's, you know, we don't own that part. That's the other building, so we just have access. And he goes, I hadn't heard of people having trouble. I said, yeah, I had a ton of trouble, but I used some of your ice melt. Hope that's okay. Here's what we did, so I think people can get out. He goes, I credited your account with $100 for your extraordinary efforts.
That's very nice.
From a landlord. That's amazing.
I know. I told Amy that's the first time that's ever happened.
Yes.
How nice is that?
Loyal Camel X listener, it sounds like.
I feel like I should go shovel, like, for a job.
Jazz DGS on KMOX. Let's talk to Joe on line two. Wants to take issue with our criticism of the plowing. Joe, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, is this me?
Yep, that's you, Joe.
Yeah, I just think that these plow guys have been getting ready since the first part of last week before this storm, and then they worked for three, sometimes four straight days, 12-hour shifts, some of them getting very little time off, and now they're getting a little time off. I just think we should cut them a little break. They'll get back out there and get the job finished, but at least we can get around a little bit.
I agree with you, but finish the job. It's like surgery's really hard, and you can do a 12-hour surgery, and if you do 11 hours and 45 minutes and you don't close the patient, I don't need to be a surgeon to know that you didn't do your job. I totally agree with you. Salt of the earth, no pun, men and women who do this kind of thing, skilled far beyond what I have, staying up, drinking coffee to go at 2 in the morning, go all night. I get it. I feel bad for them. I'm thankful for them. But I think it's fair, since they're doing the job for us, to say, hey, you get a 9 out of 10. But that one, those, the exits and the entrance ramps, let's finish those up before you go take your break. That's all I'm saying. Wheels, your thoughts?
Well, I would say that it's not even about those drivers. I mean, sure, if you drove 12 hours, we need to get you off the road. But where is the emergency plan for this kind of thing to have replacements? Some people that are trained up as part-time people, or people, you know, you're on call, you know something's coming. Hey, next week we need extra people. We trained you up on this last year. Who's available to make an extra $500 today? And have an alternative plan to relieve those drivers, so it's not the same people working 12 and 15 and 16-hour shifts. What I'm upset about is the overarching lack of plan or policy. I don't want to blame the drivers. They're just doing what they can. But at the same time, whether it's overall MoDOT or it's a political thing and they're not being funded properly, where I got on the highway today, the on-ramp was slushy, snowy, still several inches deep. There was no merge lane. I'm going on to 70. Now, if you saw 70 today, most of it's clear. So people are driving their normal highway speeds. They're going 65, 70, 75, 80 miles an hour. I had to get into the right lane with no merge lane, coming out slowly because I'm coming down a ramp that's slippery and snowy. If there was a car coming down that right lane at 70 miles an hour not paying attention, I may not be sitting here. So the not finishing the job is dangerous. I was just lucky there were no cars at that time. Like, my timing was just right. Not my timing, lucky.
Yeah.
The luck of the
overall,
draw was, though, in my favor.
Overall, I'm sure we all agree. Thank you.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But again, I would be more apt to criticize whoever's not funding this part of MoDOT's budget well enough and who's not planning enough. I mean, like, I know it doesn't happen very often, and you can't just have a plan that covers everything, but there should be an alternative. There should be some way to have people that are trained to come in. I'm like, how many places have troubleshooters? Or we're like, hey, we got an emergency shift. We're going to give you $500 if you can do this for us.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's funding and planning or if it's shortages of workers.
Right,
I mean, I don't know, because, like, we don't have enough police officers.
Exactly.
You know, so you could say it's a planning.
It's a great
thing,
comparison, actually,
really,
Amy, because we complain about that downtown. It's not about the officers down here.
We don't have enough. So
right.
I don't know what's going on with MoDOT. My first guess, whenever it's anything like this, just because my experience talking to people who have seasonal workers or any type of trades or whatever it may be, police officers, there's just a shortage. So my first guess, if things aren't getting done super quickly, my first guess would be shortage. Maybe it's a planning thing, but my guess is it's just, are there enough drivers? I don't know.
But either way, it's a valid complaint to say that public safety is impacted by the inability to clear these things correctly.
For people who got stuck on an entrance or exit ramp, they feel differently.
Right. And as an example, what I saw yesterday when the plows, through no fault of the people driving, because you only have the number of trucks out there that you do. But the way it was lined up, it was creating a foot and a half high snow pile in the middle of the second lane of a highway.
You know, there's so many people out
there,
too.
And people were getting stuck in it.
and this isn't continuing bitching, this is just a fact of life, that in neighborhoods, when they plow, so many times they end up like on a cul-de-sac or something, leaving like a 6-foot wall, you know, just like blocking your... That sucks. That happened to me 1 year.
And that's typically a private company doing that, right, in a neighborhood.
You know the best I ever had? This is probably 10 years ago. A plow, an actual plow, came through my neighborhood, and I was out there shoveling, and the guy goes, "Hey, DGS, want me to take care of that?" And I'm like, "Yes." And he literally, like, took the plow and scraped it backwards, made, like, 2 passes, and it was done.
Wow.
How great is that?
By the way, that just gave me an idea. Why isn't the plan in something like this, if we don't have enough drivers or don't have enough trucks, to contract with some of these private companies and say, hey, can we contract you to clear the highway on and off ramps? Just the ramps. You don't have to do anything on the highway. We just need the ramps cleared and contract it out in these types of scenarios. Mm. Like, maybe there's some law that says you can't do that. I don't know, but I know this. Having a snow-covered on-ramp going onto a highway with no merge lane at all because it's covered in 5 feet of snow is not safe. And it could cost someone their life. I don't want to hear about budgets, and I don't want to hear about shortages. People's lives could be impacted by that.
No natural segue from that topic to another, so let's just do something completely unrelated. Last night I watched Wicked with Phoebe.
I'm sorry.
And who was warning me about the monkeys?
Me.
Andrew.
What the hell's wrong with you? What do you think, I'm a child?
You're the one who said you were scared of the monkeys in Wizard of Oz. They were a lot less scary than the ones in Wicked.
I was 5. But I'll admit, though, I was like watching it through laced fingers.
Dave's now like, I ain't scared.
Because Andrew's like, look, buddy, I just need to tell you, prepare yourself for the flying monkeys. So when we're watching it, I see a monkey. I'm like, here we go. Here we friggin' go. They're just monkeys.
The monkeys in the original Wizard of Oz are
way
like
scarier.
No, they're like socks with feathers on them.
100%
scarier. The ones in Wicked are like screeching and screaming and blood's erupting as their wings are popping out and they're clawing at people's faces. That's scary.
Really?
No, the more subtle monkeys from the original were more scary to me.
I don't know if I would call those subtle.
Well, when it comes to flying monkeys,
it's not
subtle for a funeral service, but I mean, it's, you know.
I'm sorry you had to do that, Dave.
Oh, I was fine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Man.
You should watch it, Wheels.
What did you think overall?
Not happening.
I'm not a musical guy, but it's, how do I put it? Because it's the very nature of a musical. Like, you got your big tunes, but like, if this were a musical and I'm like, Amy Markshorst, you're really getting on my nerves today. Like, just talk a little, you know, like every time.
Yes.
And you can just tell because someone gets a little look on their face.
Oh, no.
Kind of like that.
And you're like, here it goes.
Yeah, it's like that look when you need to poop. Like, they get that look and then they're just like, ah! And you're like, okay, here's the next 5 minutes of my life. So my criticism of Wicked is it's a musical.
Yeah.
Too much
it's amazing
singing.
That we still do that.
Them gals can really sing
musicals.
No.
Why?
Oh, yeah. Impressive.
Them gals, what's singing on that thing? They can really sing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's amazing that we're still doing musicals?
It's just because it's very old-timey.
Is it?
No, I mean, like, that's how it started. It started out as, like, an old... Because it was
yeah, so did TV and movies and radio and
but
music.
A lot of those things, you're not seeing the same kinds of TV shows that you saw in 1950. You know what I mean? Like, things... those things are basically... Those styles, like the Leave It to Beaver style, it's gone. It doesn't exist. I'm not saying that there's no value in it. I'm just saying it's surprising that it still has demand, which it does because people still go see them and they make millions of dollars. It's not, I'm not
saying.
There's
almost a resurgence.
Right. I'm not saying you should never do them. I'm saying I'm surprised that a thing that was a big deal 100 years ago when movies first started being movies is still a thing.
Yeah.
Well, Wicked is from like 20 years ago.
I'm talking about musicals as a whole. Like that was what
you're about to set him off, dude.
That was what the movie industry was when they first started talking.
He's constantly saying stuff like, "Oh, they used to think cars were the devil," and it's like, that's exactly what you're talking about here, dude. Like, music is from way older than musicals are.
I understand, but
movies, TV, radio
change.
It's not a fad. It's a type of consumption, just like movies, TV, music. That's my point.
No, it's a version of movies.
It's not a version of movies.
It is.
They are. Actually really a version,
it's actually a version of
right
stage shows.
He's so mad. He's so mad. He's so mad.
He's so mad.
It's a version of stage shows.
If you ever wanted to get me to quit, make the show a musical. I'll be out the next day.
Noted.
Bye. I'm Curly Bill. Well, bye.
Well, bye, old man. Bye, old man.
On his nerves. On his nerves.
Only way I'd stay is if you did all of the musicals in your Irish accent.
Right.
In that case, I'm in.
Well, having you gives me cover. Right? When you have the most Irish-looking person in the city.
I approve this message.
It allows you.
You got a literal leprechaun. You got a literal leprechaun on the show.
That's not okay. And I'm like, this is my co-host. Like, yeah, it's fine.
Sir, the defendant said he had permission to say hoity-toity.
I mean, I look like I should have a pot of gold sitting somewhere, so how can I...
I told
not
you
have
this
authority.
Before.
Kevin O'Wheeler says it's fine.
I think it was over the break. At some point, I was in a weird mood, and I almost sent Amy a text saying "hoity toity toity too." But I don't know how her life works, and I was afraid Mason Jar would pick it up and be like, "What the hell is this?"
It's 10:30 at night.
It's
why
clearly,
is he texting you?
It's clearly a code.
Hoity toity toity too.
And you're like, "It's just an Irish accent." He's like, "Well, that's offensive." Not sure which makes me more angry.
That would have been awesome.
I will never forget her face the first time I did that. Yeah. It looked like I came home to an 8-year-old girl and said, I got a puppy in a box.
Yeah, she's like the anticipation. Like, oh my God, I cannot wait to be so blown away by this.
I love Irish accents. I'm so excited.
Oh boy. Well, I'm not going to sing this one, but BioBalance Health. I know. Sorry to let you down. Yes, I want you to be. 150 DGS. So anytime the lottery is big, we play the what would you do if you won the lottery game. But let's play a little different version of that. If you found yourself suddenly very wealthy, besides charity, let's assume that we would all do philanthropic things. Just... how do you think you'd live? What level of house would you want to get? How would you want to spend your time since you have all the time in the world? What do you think you'd do?
How rich are we?
Quite. Plenty.
Like hundreds of millions?
Hundreds of millions.
I would not have a big house.
I agree.
I would have nice everything, though. Like everything inside would be as good as it could possibly be.
Yep.
You know, like the flooring, the TV, like that kind of stuff. But probably have a couple of them that are smaller, that are in different places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I would want to travel. That would be a big thing. I would travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be jumping around. I would travel a lot, and I would be at a whole lot of sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
Like nice. A lot of, you know, the bucket list ones, the ones that you haven't been able to do.
Yeah.
Like I've never gone to see Alabama and Auburn. Well, I'd be there. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
Is there a, okay, so for example... and this probably sounds crazy, but if I had all the time, and I think I might get a PhD.
Really?
It's always intrigued me.
Hmm.
And if I could go at my own pace and do it in something that I didn't care, it's just something that I'm into, that seems like a good, worthy effort and use of your time.
Because that would be like a 6-7 year deal.
Yeah, but I'm rich.
Because you got to do the master's. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah.
Sure. Well, I could probably pay someone to get a master's.
What are you going to get it in?
I don't know. Something, some
like philosophy? Not, well, I don't know if that's
so.
A thing, but
yeah.
Like something like that?
Yeah, it is a thing.
Is it?
Uh-huh. It you don't get a job. you teach other young philosophers.
You'll be Socrates.
Yeah.
Dave will be Socrates.
Walk around in a tupa. Rachel, what about you?
I would be like Wheels. I would have houses in a couple different places, or maybe just like condos in certain cities. Like I'd have a house in St. Louis. I'd probably have like a compound out in Grafton. Just
ooh,
to have both.
Rach starting a cult.
Oh yeah. And then I would probably want to get a place in New York and then a place in Tokyo. And I would probably, rather than get like a PhD, I love that, Dave, but I would probably just focus all my energy on studying and learning Japanese for the next like year or so. Because I'm always like, man, I just feel like I could learn it if I didn't have to have this pesky job getting in my, you know what I mean? Like, it's so difficult.
Really getting in the way of my Japanese.
All this time.
But that's devoted. What I would like, I would put all my energy into.
Andrew, what are you doing?
I mean, I'm probably not buying a bunch of houses because all the constant, I don't know, all the constant traveling to like various places seems like it would.
Seems like a pain.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a pain to me. So I'm probably just staying put, you know, literally staying put. I think I'm probably, I guess I would do some level of traveling, but not on like permanent basis. I wouldn't have like residencies in various places. I'd just, you know, maybe go somewhere for a bit and come back. But I think even that, I think I'd probably tire of. Traveling can stress me out.
Would you build a slightly bigger compound next to Rachel's in Grafton?
There you go. You could live right outside her walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. No, I would probably just try to bum off of her.
What if they started? What if they went to war against each other?
I'd just be like, "You have so much room in your compound. Come on, I don't want to have to build a whole compound.
It'll be just like I don't know how that works. Was the game you guys were comparing.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We each have our own island.
Each other's.
Yeah.
Our own private
each
island.
Have our own
Who had the
island
aquarium?
We both have an aquarium. Oh, you both Andrew's did? Was quite impressive.
All right. I was. I'm
so
proud
that's
of
what's
going to
happen. You guys are going to have an aquarium war.
You know what? That's what I would have. I would have an aquarium room. I'd have like a big room in my house. Shut up, Amy. A big room in my house.
Would you just fill the
Andrew's
room
like,
with water?
If I was rich, I'm getting a bunch of fishies.
You'd fill the room with water.
That would be pretty.
Amy's
that would
like,
be pretty
I'd buy
cool,
fancy
though.
Cookies for Bible study. Well, whatever. I'd have an aquarium.
No, you're not. You are not kidding, man. That
I'd have a big aquarium.
I'd be able to host a heck of a Bible study.
I'd buy cookies.
What would you build? Like if you had that?
Oh, a cabin. I'd move to the mountains. I'd buy a brand
ooh,
new
there
Subaru.
We go.
Nice.
Brand new
Subaru with snow tires.
So on brand.
Yeah, that's
so.
Right. You would know, be like, Amy must have won the lottery. That is a new Outback out there. Yeah, and it would be in the mountains, and I would have, I don't want a big house. I want a manageable, like, cabin, and I want it to be cozy, and I would just have, like, pretty fabrics and pretty couches and pretty dishes, and then people could come and visit. I'd want it to be homey and welcoming so that, like, friends could come over. I would want a really big dining room table, like a farmer's type table, mm-hmm. You know, like the big, big wooden ones, so that it's just like gather around, like come on over and gather. Like that would be so fun to have a place where people could gather, and then travel. Yeah, but I would just want one house because it stresses me out. You know, big houses, multiple houses, that's a lot to keep up with. Mm. So yeah, and I would write and run. Oh my gosh, I would do that in a heartbeat. Move to the mountains.
I think you could have that now.
I'm saving. Like, I really, like, I. It's not, it is obviously the scale of the house and all of that, but slowly buying nice pillows one at a time.
There you go.
And in 30 years, I'll
slowly.
Have enough.
Have a place just to buy them all at once.
They're expensive.
You're rich.
No.
You're
oh,
rich.
I mean now. Oh. Like, it's not a dream that's completely out of the realm of possibility of one day having.
You can get that Outback.
I can. I'm hoping. One day. I want to get $200,000 on my current one.
Yeah.
I'm at 120.
I'm at 211.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I think it's kind of cool.
It is.
I know.
It's fun.
I think it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I ran her off the road today.
I know. That's sad.
I ran her into a sewer.
Oh, my God.
It is so funny because, like,
still standing.
I'm always, it's just the difference in how you guys view that. And I'm always like, man, I wouldn't mind a new car right now. And my car's still pretty new.
No, you're that guy.
I am. My dad's
you just
that
got
guy.
A
which
new
is,
car.
I know. That's what I'm saying. My dad's that guy. He changes cars like every 3 years.